Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. You're listening to America This Week.
We are back. You are on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I'm joined by Father Matt Malone, who's in Boston. I'm here in New York, and we're interviewing Robert Ellsberg of Orbis Books. First about Blessed Oscar Romero. Now we're going to talk about Servant of God, Dorothy Day. And this is, before we get into the questions of why you support her canonization and her cause, this is somebody you knew. This is somebody who had a great impact on your own faith. So maybe you can speak about Dorothy and, you know, the influence she's had on your life.
I met Dorothy when I was very young. I was 19, and I came to work at the Catholic Worker and ended up staying there for 5 years, working with her for 2 years as managing editor of the Catholic Worker newspaper. And she was quite old in the last 5 years of her life and in a kind of retirement, and entrusted a lot of things to, you know, what people she called the young people. And I was quite young at that time, certainly. And it really was the defining event of my life. I became a Catholic during those years. I went on to study theology, and then I edited her writings. And my life, in many ways, has been determined by her witness and her story and her message that I've tried to share with other people, and in editing her diaries and her letters and other writings. And now, most recently, becoming more involved publicly in promoting her canonization.
And what is the current status of her canonization, of her cause, Robert, for our listeners who may not know?
Cardinal O'Connor in 2000 submitted her cause to Rome, where it was accepted to begin the initial stage. So she at that point became a servant of God, which is the very first stage. And it's now in the so-called diocesan phase of the investigation related to her canonization. So that means here in New York, there is a Dorothy Day Guild that is promoting knowledge of her life and witness, and a postulator who is overseeing the, you know, interviews with people who knew her and the compilation of her writings and that sort of thing that will all eventually be submitted to Rome.
And so you've thought a lot about these two people we've been talking about, these two very holy people, Dorothy Day, an American woman, Oscar Romero, a Salvadoran archbishop. What do they have in common, and what are the important ways in which they're different?
Well, obviously the differences are obvious. One was a Catholic convert and a laywoman. Who started a Catholic newspaper without any official support or authorization from the church, who lived a life of devotion to the poor and commitment to social justice outside of any kind of official or officially sanctioned framework within the church, and whose holiness, I think, has. Continued to grow in the many years since her death in 1980. Similarities, they both died in the same year, Oscar Romero in March of 1980 and Dorothy Day, who died peacefully here in New York in November. Oscar Romero, obviously, was a man of the church. His motto as bishop was sentir con la iglesia, you know, thinking with the church. He was a bishop, an archbishop, of a major city, whose kind of prophetic ministry was really only 3 years, unlike the kind of almost 50 years that Dorothy Day spent in the Catholic Worker. And in that very short time, he became a symbol for a church that makes an option for the poor and sides with the poor in a situation of injustice, and died violently as a result of that. But I think they both, in many ways, are icons of a church that is that has its roots in Vatican II, and in case of Latin America, in the Medellin Conference and the Puebla Conference that began to articulate the idea of an option for the poor, a preferential option for the poor. And so they both are people who brought that commitment to social justice, that is to say, not just caring for the poor in the forms of charity or the works of mercy, which both of them did, but also confronting the institutional structures that create so much violence, injustice, and poverty. So in that sense, they are really very kindred figures.
Now, I should say this essay, which appeared in our May 4th issue, making the case for her canonization, originally appeared in the Catholic Worker. Mm-hmm. And that is because you were making the case to those people who may have some questions about the canonization process for Dorothy Day. Why do some people have reservations about that?
Exactly, you're right. I was writing for people who have no doubts about her holiness, but they're skeptical for one reason or another about the process of canonization. Incidentally, it was interesting. My article was circulated among a lot of people in El Salvador because there were similar kinds of questions raised there as well in the case of Romero. But there are many people who worry that in making a saint, the church takes a radical prophetic figure like this and makes them into a safe, comfortable, inoffensive martyr of love or whatever you want to call it. In the case of Dorothy, a faithful, daughter of the church or whatnot, and talk about her wonderful love for the poor, just like Mother Teresa and everything, and maybe leave out that radical critique of society and her prophetic witness against war and injustice and this sort of thing. There are people who are concerned about the costs and the whole process of canonization, that it is a cumbersome, bureaucratic kind of procedure that seems so out of character with the kind of spirit of the life of simplicity. Then there are even people who say, well, she didn't really want that, didn't she? Didn't she say, don't call me a saint, I don't want to be dismissed that easily? And they say, well, see, the poor woman, she didn't want to be canonized, so leave her alone.
That's like the first requirement for a saint, though.
Well, I mean, I can imagine a saint who says, please, call me a saint. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm aiming for.
Though, in fact, Dorothy Day believed that all people are called to be saints.
Right.
She took that very, very seriously. She was not cynical about saints in the slightest. What she was concerned about was the tendency to take certain people and put them up on a pedestal and think, well, they can do those kind of things. I could never live with the poor or even, share my resources or whatever it is, protest against war, because I'm not like Dorothy Day. I'm not a saint. She didn't want to be used in that kind of way.
You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. We're talking with Robert Ellsberg about sainthood. We're talking about Oscar Romero. We're talking about Dorothy Day. You can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. That's 888-322-8465. And, Robert, we had a lot of comments on our website and then letters to the editor.
I saw some of those. Yeah.
About your essay. Mm-hmm. One of them, I think, posed an interesting question. She quotes what you've written. Daniel Ellsberg quotes Day's seminal question, where were the saints to try to change the social order, not just to minister to the slaves, but to do away with slavery? Mm-hmm. And this person asked, why did she address this question to Christ's followers and not to Christ himself? And I think, without reading too much into that, I think one of the things that might be behind that question is a concern on the part of some that there's something kind of worldly or materialistic about a concern for the poor and for, just visible structures. And I wonder if you could address that.
I'm not sure I'm addressing your question or the one that the reader posed. I, knowing a little bit about where that question was originally coming from, I think the point was that that Christ loved the poor and all that sort of thing, but wasn't concerned about social structures and institutional issues and that sort of thing. I think that the Church has made it very clear that in 1971 the bishops said that the promotion of justice is a constitutive aspect of evangelization, so that you can't talk about preaching the gospel without being concerned by social justice, and that's a little bit more than just caring for the poor. But Dorothy anticipated that very much, even as a child, that sense that there were lots of saints who poured out their love and their concern for the poor, but where were those who would combine that kind of love with addressing the causes of poverty and injustice? And I think that she, in effect, gave her whole life was an answer to that question, so that in the future, when Dorothy is canonized one day, people won't have to say, where are the saints to change the social order? Dorothy Day is an example of that, and Oscar Romero as well.
And she wouldn't have seen those two things as opposed, right? She wouldn't have seen those two questions as necessarily opposed.
No, she herself didn't make a choice between them.
Right.
They was part of a continuous kind of style of Christian living that was, I think, her, that defined her.
Now, I'd like to speak, maybe you can speak to the question of why Dorothy Day is a saint for our time and for today's church. And I want to quote one line you have here is, support for her cause means more than keeping her memory alive. It contributes to the ongoing program of renewal of the church, not for its own sake, but for the sake of a wounded world. Maybe you can talk more about that.
Well, I have been promoting the cause of Dorothy Day, you might say, ever since she died in 1980. But even I, as the years have gone by, have wondered whether there was something to that criticism that the church will take her radical message and kind of make it safe and inoffensive and bland. And she will be held up as, she was a great sinner who she had an abortion and then she, did all these other things. And then she became a Catholic and became this very holy woman. And that would be the kind of narrative that would describe her. And I had my concerns about that myself. I think that it's significant that now in this era of Pope Francis, I think that Dorothy Day becomes a figure who embodies in a way what the vision of the church that he is describing and putting forward. Now we can hold up Dorothy Day or Oscar Romero as a kind of shorthand way of saying, what is it that Pope Francis is talking about? A church that is not inward-looking, is not turned in on itself, but that is going out to the margins to meet Christ at the periphery. There couldn't be anything that describes more the life of Dorothy Day, whose spirituality was so focused on encountering Christ in the poor and those victims of injustice. So I think that there's a moment now when we can truly understand, that's what she was talking about. And I feel much less concerned that her message will be adulterated or watered down in some way.
It also seems to me that there is a way in which the words and the lives of prophets like Romero and Day, they really ought to be divisive in a sense. And by that I mean if they are truly rooted in the radicality of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, then when you bear witness to that either in word or in deed, it has a destabilizing quality, and it challenges our cherished mythologies and ideologies, and invites us to kind of break down in order to be brought together again.
I couldn't agree more. I think that when I went to the University of Central America in El Salvador, where the Jesuit faculty there were murdered in 1989. They had a beautiful monument to there, and they had the line from the Gospel of John: "If they hate you, remember that they hated me. They hated me first. The world hated me first." We can kind of have this idea: oh, everybody loved Romero, except for the person who shot him, maybe. but that overlooks all the social forces who had their hands on that trigger, even if they didn't pull it themselves. Same with Martin Luther King. Now we have Martin Luther King. Everybody loves Martin Luther King, except for maybe, the person, whoever that was, who shot him. Well, that may have been a person who was an agent of the United States government in some form or another. Massive forces in the United States that saw him as a dangerous person who had to be stopped. And the same with Jesus. And you remember when St. Peter addresses the Sanhedrin, says, Jesus, whom you killed, he points a finger, that was a message that was missing from this beatification. There was all kinds of rejoicing and great thing we have this saint of the Americas in El Salvador, but not much kind of direct confrontation with the fact that there were a lot of people who wanted him dead and now are rejoicing in his beatification. Where is the moment of conversion or the introspection there? We can all participate in this joyful event now, but it calls us to conversion. It challenges us in a deep way, and I think all saints do that. And that part of their message, that challenging and difficult aspect of their message, shouldn't be papered over.
Well, the essay is called Called to Be Saints by Robert Ellsberg. It is in the May 4th, 2015 issue of America, which you can find in print and online at americamagazine.org. And Robert, how can our listeners find out more about the cause of Dorothy Day or the work that you do at Orbis?
Well, to find out about the cause of Dorothy Day, I would advise them to Google the Dorothy Day Guild. Very easy to find on the internet, and there's a wonderful site there that talks about her life, and there's a newsletter that can inform you about events about Dorothy Day, ways to support it, invitations to be in touch if you have testimony about her, if you knew her personally, or if you'd like to contribute in some way. As for Orbis Books, yes, please look us up at orbisbooks.com. We publish many books by and about Dorothy Day and Oscar Romero, of course.
Terrific. Robert, brother, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. A pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.